You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word and healing.
Welcome to the Living Word Radio broadcast, brought to you by Maranatha International, a church of worship, the word, and healing. Join us for our Sunday services from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. For locations and to sow a seed into this radio ministry, visit our website at maranathainter.org or call 561-383-6574, 561-383-6574. Now, stay tuned for today's message.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word and healing.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastor David Ewers with Maranatha International, a church of worship, the word and healing. And I'm so excited to be with you again. I believe I've been getting some feedback from you guys, and it's been all good. I also want you just to continue to call us at 561-383-6574, and also go on our website. Check us out, Maranatha International. That's M-A-R-A-N-A-T-H-A, inter.org, to get further information about this ministry and also have a place where you can actually sow into this ministry. As I said before, and I think I've been mentioning every week, that we're still looking for a building. We want to be a blessing to this community, and we want to implement some things that I believe that's going to be helpful to this community. So those that may have, you know, the means to say, hey, I want to sow this building into this ministry, you know, give us a call at 561-383-6574. Well, as you know, we continue talking about the hindrance of faith, the hindrance of prayer. And I believe that we've been talking about Teach Me How to Pray. And as we have been going through this series, I believe that I've been also, like I said before, we've been getting some really good feedback about the fact that how it's been helpful and how it's been impactful in your life. So it's good, you know, every now and then just kind of say, hey, Pastor, we do hear your message. We want to come and be a part. We want to visit your church. And we definitely welcome you in open arms. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We glorify your holy name. Father God, what can we do without you? The word of God says, Lord God, that you are the vine and we are the branches. If we are disconnected from you, we are nothing. So, Father God, we cannot speak. We cannot utter one voice without you. Now, Father God, your people are here. There are different pressing needs, Lord God, that are before me. And Father God, I ask now, Father God, that your hands, Lord Jesus, will rest upon them. Comfort those that need comforting. Heal those, Lord God, that need healing. And Father God, we ask, Father God, for just the peace, Father God, where there is confusion. We pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, for all the ministers and all the pastors in this area, Father God, that are doing such a great work. We ask that you may continue to gird them up, just to strengthen them. We pray for this country, Lord God, that this rich country, Lord God, Father God, will turn their eyes, Lord God, to you, Lord God, and Father God, and that your purpose, Lord God, will be accomplished, Father God, over the airwaves, Lord Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. We love you. We praise you. We ask all these things in Jesus Christ, and we pray. Amen and amen. Well, as you know, we've been talking about the hindrance to our prayers. A lot of times I believe that there's some sense of frustration that you've been praying the same prayer over and over and you haven't been seeing any results. But I believe that there are literally hindrance that block us. The story that comes to mind is when Daniel was praying. He understood the books of Jeremiah and he was praying. And as he was praying, the scripture says that an angel was coming with the answer. I believe that was Gabriel, was coming with the answer. But the prince of Persia held him up. In other words, was hindering his prayer. And when the angel got there, he says, hey, from day one, when you spoke that and uttered those words, your prayers were answered, but they were on the way and they were held up. So I just want to kind of go through these things, and we can just literally look at this and examine our prayers to see if any of these are prevalent in our prayers, and then make the necessary changes to move them and to pray the way God wants us to pray. I believe it was the disciples that were looking at Jesus and said, and the disciples came to Jesus and says, hey, teach us how to pray. We know that your prayer is effective. And then James, it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, I want to definitely get right into the fourth hindrance, but I just want to recap real quick. The first hindrance to our prayer is doubt. We define doubt as, you know, we gave a couple of Greek words concerning doubt, aporio, which means to be without a way, diakrino, which means to be distinct, make no distinction, to waver due to the lack of faith. We gave distazo, which means to stand in two ways. This means double, and stasis. Tazo would come from the word stasis, which means a standing, double standing. We also gave the word meteorizo, which where you get the word meteor. So doubt gives you the idea of to be up in the air and suspense, not showing exactly what's going to happen between hope and fear. All right. So, and also then we transitioned and we talked about fear. That's the second hindrance. Fear is false evidence appearing real. We gave some information about how the enemy operates in the realm of fear. He wants us to be in fear, and that gives him the right to move and to bring that discouragement because he operates in fear. We gave the scripture, 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, yes, your opponent, which is the opponent in the lawsuit, the devil, he goes about as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour or who he may gulp entirely. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 also sheds some light on fear and talks about how fear is a spirit. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So in that same scripture, it kind of gives us the nuggets of how to remove fear. We need power, dunamis. We need love. So love casts out all fear. We need a sound mind, a changing of our mind, a renewing of our mind, and what it declared in Romans chapter 12. We also give the definitions of fear. It comes from the word phobos. A lot of times you see a word like phobia, arachnophobia. It gives you the fact that it's you're fearful of something. So phobos is the definition of fear. It says that which means to cause flight or dread or terror. All right, that's how the enemy operates. The second word for fear is delia, D-E-I-L-I-A. It means fearfulness. And that's when we quoted the scripture in 2 Timothy 1, verses 7. For God has not given us the spirit of, yes, delia. He has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, the power of a sound mind. And then the third word is eulabia, E-U-L-A-B-E-I-A. It signifies a reverence, not necessarily a fear from God, but it's a reverence, a godly fear. So we talked about the fact that fear is could be removed because he said love casts out all fear. So we talked about hindrance one. We talked about hindrance two. We talked about hindrance three, which is unbelief. We gave the example of how Jesus, when he went back to Nazareth, he went back to his hometown. But because of how they viewed him in a realm and created a space of unbelief, the scripture says that he could not do many miracles because of unbelief. Your prayers are not going to avail much if you are praying in unbelief. What I mean by unbelief, I am not sure, this may not happen, it never happened to me, it always ends in a bad result. So we see here that the scripture declares that we have to remove unbelief. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12, it calls it the evil heart of unbelief. Now, we're not going to dwell too much on those because we already went over those. And I believe we already started on the fourth hindrance, which is unforgiveness, which is a very big, it's a long word, but at the same time, it's a very important word to address this unforgiveness. Now, when we look at this word unforgiveness, let's kind of define it first. It gives you the idea of an unwillingness or you're unable to forgive or having or making no allowance for error or weakness. We hold someone up in our heart. Someone has wronged us. And we say, man, I will never forgive you, Dad. I will never forgive you, Mom. I will never forgive you, Pastor. I will never forgive you, friend. And we hold it for years and years, not realizing that the damage is not coming to the other person, but you are held in bondage. So when we pray, our prayer hits that ceiling of unforgiveness and bounce right back to you. Pastor, did you just say that? Yeah. Your prayer is not able to go through because you're holding the climate and the atmosphere that you have created is not conducive for God to work in, if you know what I mean. God loves to work in an arena where his word is prevalent. Now, let's look at the scripture concerning unforgiveness and forgiveness. Let's look at Mark chapter 11, verses 22 to 24. Actually, we're going to read 25 also. Let's start. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Prior to that, we see that Jesus spoke to a fig tree. The next day they came and they look at the fig tree, and the fig tree was dried up from the root. And they said, what happened, Lord? And then he said, the same thing that you could do. And he says, if same thing I did to that fig tree, you can also do to your circumstances. As a matter of fact, you see that mountain over there? You can say to that mountain, be removed and be thou cast in the sea. So it picks up from there. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be what? Cast into the sea, and does not doubt. Those are one of the hindrances we talked about. Doubt in our heart. But believe those things which you say will be done. He will have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things when you pray, believe you receive. That word comes from the word lambano. It means to take. Believe you receive them and you will have them. 25. This is the part I want you to catch. Hold on right there. And whenever you stand praying, you see that? Let me read that again. And whenever you stand praying, do what? If you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. You see how that goes? So he says that in order for our trespasses to be forgiven, we have to take care of our part first. So it's important that we forgive. Now, when we look at this scripture, or for instance, this word, forgive, we gave a definition last week. The first definition comes from the word aphiami. It's actually spelled aphiemi. The word forgive means to send forth or to send away. When you forgive someone, you're sending away that offense. You're sending forth, and you're removing something that you've been holding on to. This word apo, when we look at that word deeper, that word aphomi, the apo means from, and the himi means to send. So it means to send from. So it means complete removal of the cause of offense. There's a second word that I was looking at that defines this word forgive. It comes from the word charizomia. For those the Greek scholars, we also know that the word charis is where you get the word grace. Now, Paul says, my grace is sufficient. We know all the know the song, Amazing Grace. So that word grace, it means charis. It also means favor. So charizomia, for the word forgive, it means to bestow a favor. All right, unconditionally. Now, when we look at this word, the definitions of both of these words, we see one of the words being used in, for instance, Luke chapter 23, verses verses 34. Let's look at it real quick. Luke chapter 23, verses 34. Are you with me? Good, 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 good. All right, so Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Let's start with verse 28. But Jesus, turning them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourself and your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, wombs that never bore, and the breasts which never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in Greenwood, what will be done in the dry?" 32. There also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, they were crucified, where they were crucifying him, and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. 34. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." We see a similar example, and I think I gave it last week with Stephen when he was actually being stoned. And then the fact that they were in the process of being stoned, we see that Stephen was now asking for the forgiveness, not to hold them in forgiveness, not to hold it against them. Even while they were yet throwing stones at him, he was still in the mode of saying, "Lord, forgive them, because they know not what they do." So we see here that unforgiveness, when we look at this word unforgiveness, it when you look at someone that is in unforgiveness, they literally always keep a score. You remember the prodigal son with the elder brother and the younger brother? The younger brother got his portion and he went away and he just kind of just spend it, and he just was just living a lifestyle and just kind of living it out. And the elder brother, he was the one at home, and he kept the score, you know. And you see that he begins to start getting really upset. He says, "All these years I've served you, Father, and you never even give me a goat." I understand. He must have been from Jamaica, because I could have some curry goat right around now. But anyway, that's beside the point. Well, we see here that he held the score. So unforgiveness always what? Keeps a score. The second thing we'd look about unforgiveness is always boasts of its own record. It always boasts of its own record. In that same incident with the prodigal son, we see that the elder son says, "I never did wrong all these years." In other words, he was kind of boasting, "I always did good. What makes him special?" You know, and he held up something in his heart because of unforgiveness. So unforgiveness, it does what? Yes, it always keeps score. It always boasts of its own. It always complains. If you listen to for unforgiveness, it's always complaining. "You never did anything for me." Unforgiveness always divides. Look at the relationship that you're in. But because of but Pastor, you don't know what she did to me. It really hurt me to my heart. And I'm having a hard time recovering from that. Well, tell you what, God commands us for us to release that and to go back and to now, Scripture says that he has given us the ministry of reconciliation, to be able to reconcile, the anointing to be able to reconcile differences. But the church that I came from that really wronged me, hey, go back and say, "Hey, just forgive me." One of the key things for those that are married, you know, even if you're in the wrong or in the right, learn this art of saying, "Forgive me, forgive me." That goes a long way. And that can bring healing to that areas where it might have been breached. So let's look at it again. Unforgiveness, it keeps a score. It always boasts of its own record. It always complains. It divides. It separates. Yes, unforgiveness is very envious and jealous when angry. So we see here that unforgiveness has to be dealt with, right? Yeah, that's for sure. Now, look at Peter now. Let's look at Shadrach and Peter. Peter now comes to Jesus and says, okay, you're talking about this unforgiveness stuff. Peter asks the Lord, how often should I forgive my brother here? If he has sinned against me, and I'll forgive him. Up to 7 times, and Jesus thinking says, no. 70 times 7. I know there's a number, and you could do the math or whatever it is, but he was literally trying to give an infinite number to say, hey, I keep on forgiving. I believe it was in 1 John, it says that if any has committed a sin, he says that confess your sins, because he's what? Faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So some of us are maybe talking right now, you may have done something and there's a condemnation that the enemy is coming over you. You can go back to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. All right. And then he puts us right back in our rightful place. All right. So when we look at this word unforgiveness, it's very important. When we look at it closer, we can actually see love in action. And that's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is love in motion. You see certain times when we see when Jesus was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. Forgiveness and love, they hold hands and they walk together. They walk together. Now, Pastor, what this has to do with prayer? How does unforgiveness hinders my prayer? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Let's look at Psalms chapter 66, verses 18. It says, if I regard iniquity. When you look at this word iniquity, it comes from the word aven. It means immoral or grossly unfair behavior. If I regard iniquity, if I know that something in my heart is not right, if I regard iniquity in my heart, catch this now, the Lord will not hear. I mean, that's big. That's big. That means that if you regard unforgiveness in your heart, and there is a tugging, says, forgive her, forgive him. And he says, no, Lord, you don't know what she has done to me. If you regard it in your heart, the scripture says that the Lord will not hear. As a matter of fact, when I was looking, for instance, like in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 15, 18 and 19, the scripture says, when you spread out your hands, Lord, I love you, and I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wow. I don't know about you, but I want to make it right. I want to make it right. And even now, use this time right now to say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, give me the ability to forgive those that have wronged me. Give me the ability to forgive the way you forgive. How does God forgive? God forgives by, he says, I will blot out. In Isaiah chapter 43, verses 20 says, I am he who blots out your transgressions from your own sake, and I will not remember your sins anymore. If we use our faith and say, Lord, by myself, I don't have the strength and the capability to forgive this person because I know what they have done. But by faith, I forgive them. When you release your faith like that, then God says, okay, I step in and I will seal that. You see how that goes? Now, let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 32. He says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving. That word comes from the word, I believe the same word we use, charizomia. It means to grant as favor and kindness and to pardon and to resolve and to freely give. Let's read it again. And be kind to one another, forgiving one another, even as God has forgiven us. So we see here that God says that I am the one that does the forgiving. I was on the cross with nails through my hands, and I said, Lord, forgive them, because they know what not what they do. If I'm able to do that, then you are able to forgive that person that has wronged you. So when we look at this word forgive, it works hand in hand with love. It works hand in hand with love. Now, like for instance, we look at a lot of times we go through the Old Testament and we see all the commandments. And we say we have these 10 commandments on our walls. And we see, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, remember the Sabbath day, and the list goes on and on. I want you to catch something with me. John chapter 13. And we see how the Old Testament now relates to the New Testament. In the Old Testament, we have the law. Don't do this, don't do that, don't steal. And then in the New Testament, we see how God now hangs all those commandments on one thing. And we're going to read it real quick. John chapter 13, verses 34 to 35. Let's look at it here. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Who's speaking? Jesus. That you also love one another. And by this all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. We see again and again where he says that a new commandment that he gives. So he says all the commandments that you saw that we just read in Exodus is hung on the fact that we love one another and we love God with all our hearts. Well, my time has come to an end so quickly. I mean, I was having so much fun with you guys, but my time has come to an end. Now, my prayer is that you will just take a real good look at persons that you have held up and you have in unforgiveness. And I want you to take this time to say, Lord, I release them. I forgive them. Go to that individual. Call that individual and say, hey, forgive me. All right? Because I no longer want my prayers to be hindered. Amen? Glory to God. Well, my prayer is that God will bless you. Richly bless you is my prayer. May his face shine upon you until next week. Hopefully, we'll get a chance to go into Hindrance chapter 5 so we can get even deeper into the word. Amen? This Sunday at 10 o'clock, call us at 561-383-6574 for further information. May God richly bless you is my prayer. Amen.
Maranatha Assembly International. A church of worship, the word and healing.
Welcome to the Living Word Radio Broadcast, brought to you by Maranatha International, a church of worship, the word and healing. Join us for our Sunday services from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. For locations and to sow a seed into this radio ministry, visit our website at maranathainter.org or call 561-383-6574, 561-383-6574.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word.
Hello friends, this is Jonathan McLean, General Manager of WCNO. I pray you are encouraged and strengthened in your faith as you listen to the great Bible teaching and Christ-centered music on your local Christian radio station. Tom Creighton is enjoying his retirement in Georgia, and I have been wonderfully busy getting acquainted with you, our great family of listeners at WCNO. God's blessings and your faithful giving have kept this ministry strong and growing for over 29 years. Once again, at this time of prayer and share, beginning October the 21st, would you specifically pray with us for God's miraculous provision and abundant blessing? Would you please look for my letter and donation envelope and return it promptly with your most generous commitment? By the grace of God, we will continue together to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you again for your prayers and investment into the kingdom of God at this great Christian radio ministry, WCNO. God bless.